looking at six functions of church, and one of the things that we've been looking at and are looking at now is the issue of encounters with the Spirit. That is something that every church should be experiencing. It's certainly demonstrated by the early church, and it's been demonstrated by the church throughout history. Encountering the Spirit of God is part of who we are as God's people. It should be part of our experience individually and corporately. Unfortunately, the whole idea of encountering the Spirit is actually a divisive question. There's a lot of ideas about what it means to be filled with the Spirit, and there are questions asked, which I'll review a little bit. Is every Christian filled with the Spirit? Is every Christian filled with the Spirit to the same extent? And I'll review that briefly. There has been controversies on both sides. There are those who say those who believe in an infilling and a baptism in the Holy Spirit are elitists. And actually, there are those who believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit who are elitists. So there's kind of give and take on both sides. And there are even those who say, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you're not even a Christian. Okay, and that's a huge problem, and that has created some divisions. What I have seen in searching the scripture is there are church handbooks, there are church dogmas, whether charismatic churches or Pentecostal churches. There are systematic theologies. There's more than a few books written about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I've read my share of them. But the truth is, doctrine is important, but there are a lot of theories about what all of this means, and we're going to look at some of that today. However, ran across a saying by Yogi Berra this week, which I think really applies to this situation. In theory, theory and practice are the same. In practice, they aren't. That's pretty profound. And I think that's true about the infilling of the Spirit as well. God does things in ways that are unexpected, sometimes that defy our definitions, but quite often fit very clearly within things that he's already given us to understand. So it's a potentially divisive question, and there are questions we've been asking. Do all Christians have the Spirit? And we've come to the conclusions you cannot be a Christian, you cannot be born again, if you're not born again by the Spirit of God. Every Christian has the Spirit. Every Christian who is born of God's Spirit, that is how they are born, by the Spirit of God. Then we ask the question, are all Christians not filled with the Spirit? And we've come to the conclusion, at least I have, that no, we're not all filled with the Spirit. We're not all filled with the Spirit. Not only that, even those of us who may have experienced from time to time in our life an infilling, an empowering by the Spirit, whatever that means and whatever that looks like in your understanding, we're not always filled with the Spirit to the same degree all the time. Can you say that you're experiencing the power of the Spirit the same at all times in your life? I think the Bible says, indicates by implication, by inference, but that's not the case. That's why in certain passages of Scripture, they will say things like, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke to the Sanhedrin. Or Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, prophesied. Or Zechariah, filled with the Spirit, prophesied. The Spirit came upon them both in the Old Testament dispensation and in the New Testament dispensation, where they were filled in a fresh and a powerful way, a fresh visitation of the Spirit. So whether you see yourself as someone who understands the ways and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I would dare say that every person here is in need of continual renewal by the Holy Spirit. That is why Paul said to the Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. If there was an option, if it was not possible for a Christian not to be filled with the Spirit, he wouldn't even have to say that. It's present continuous. Be filled with the Spirit. It's something that should be an ongoing experience, something that should be cultivated, something that should be sought. So there's that question. And then, when we embrace, when we seek this infilling of the Spirit, when we seek it, when we desire it, when we ask God as believers in Christ to fill us with his Spirit. We looked in previous weeks at some of the things that we might expect, and this is all by way of review. There are supernatural manifestations when the Spirit is active, quite often. There might be speaking in tongues. There might be boldness, as there was for Peter. It says he was filled with the Spirit and he spoke with boldness. It says the disciples were filled with the Spirit when they prayed in the place where they were shaken, and they were filled with boldness. There is a power that is released. There might be, like Stephen's case, he was filled with the Spirit and he had divine revelation just before he was martyred. He saw heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He was filled with the Spirit and God gave him special revelation. Joel says, I'll pour out of my Spirit. Young men shall see visions and old men shall dream dreams. There will be revelation when the Spirit is active in our lives. There might be prophecy. Paul laid hands on the Ephesians disciples. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. The Spirit came upon Elizabeth, came upon Zechariah, and they prophesied. They spoke God's inspired word. And in their case, it was recorded, and it became for us Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit bore them along. There might be praise. Speak to one another. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. As we worship the Lord, quite often the Spirit becomes active in our spirit and touches our heart. That's quite often when the gifts of the Spirit are released in our lives, in our midst. The bottom line, which we, at least I came to the conclusion last week, in the message, is there a sign? I indicated the sign, as I understand Scripture, is that the power of God comes upon us. The power of God is released in our lives, and we become empowered to serve God, to minister God, and to be his witnesses. It is power. That word is dunamis. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The word is dunamis, where we get the word dynamic. We get the word dynamo. There's something at work that is supernatural. It has a supernatural dynamic power. There's a really great Slavic word that is used. It's called struja. Struja. I just want to see if you can say that. Can you say that? Struja. Struja, yeah. That's a word they use for electricity. But it doesn't mean electricity. It means current or flow. That's what that power is. It's a current or it's a flow, that dynamic power. When they talk about the infilling Spirit, they talk about struja, a dynamic current of God. I remember once I had been in a pretty serious car accident. I was not hurt, but my car was totaled. Someone ran a stop sign from the left side. We were living in Virginia Beach, attending a charismatic Presbyterian church, which some say is an oxymoron, but it wasn't. Hemsville Presbyterian, and they had prayer during the services, most services, and I had been in this accident. I wasn't injured. Nothing was broken. Nothing was sprained, but I was getting these recurrent pains in my left arm. I had been sideswiped from the left, totaled the car, but hit the hood in the engine and not, thank God, not the driver's seat side, or not the driver's seat. It was on the same side, though. And I had had this pain for a couple of weeks, and I went forward, and I just asked for prayer. And when they prayed for me, I felt struja up and down my arm. It's like an electric current. And I just began to praise the Lord. I began to actually laugh and praise him because it was just amazing. It wasn't because anything was funny. It was because it was amazing. Struja. These things happen. These things happen when the Holy Spirit is active. There is power released. So I want to say very clearly before we move on here that any infilling of the Holy Spirit that any of us receives is connected with our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is connected with his ministry in our lives. And I think John the Baptist pointed out to the disciples that Jesus really has a kind of twofold ministry. Of course, it's manifold, but When he saw Jesus, he prophesied two things. First thing he said was, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, Jesus Christ by whom our sins are forgiven, Jesus Christ, whom if we believe in him, becomes not only our Savior, but gives us new birth. By that power, we become children of God. But a little bit further on, he says about Jesus, just after saying he was the Lamb of God, he says, "I saw the Spirit descend upon him as a dove and remain." And John is saying, this is what's revealed to me. It is he who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. So when we ask, when we seek an infilling of the Spirit, it is rooted in, it is established by our relationship with Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. It is he, our Savior, who baptizes us, fills us with his Spirit. And we've been looking at the book of Acts, what that means when that happened. He fills us with the Spirit. Nikki Gumbel in the Alpha Course makes a great analogy. He says, every Christian has the Spirit. But not every Christian is filled, nor is every Christian always filled with the Spirit. An analogy he makes is it's like the pilot light. The pilot light on your gas stove is there, it is constant. But when you turn on the gas, it flames up. Every believer has a pilot light. And sometimes, doesn't it feel like that's all you've got going for you? Is the pilot light? And you wish there was much more there. But when the gas is turned on, when the Spirit moves, there's a flame. And that's available to all of us. This is not something special just for unique people. It's available to all of us. And the manifestation, the clarity that God is active in our hearts by his Spirit is a release of his power. We experience his power. Now, some people say, well, that kind of stirs up kind of an emotionalism, doesn't it? And I have to admit, there are times when the Lord is active in a still small voice in a way that's barely detectable. And I understand that. That was what it was with Elijah. But on the other hand, if we look at Scripture, we see that when God shows up, significant, powerful, and meaningful things happen. Supernatural things happen in people's lives. There's dunamis. There's struya. There's life. And there's an opening to the world that is beyond the natural world. So, my goal today, and this may be a manifestation of the gift of miracles, my goal today is to be succinct and focused because I want to give everyone in this room an opportunity, if you desire, to come forward to kind of this area, what we refer to as the altar area, and to wait on the Lord and ask him to touch your heart in a fresh way, to fill you with his Spirit, perhaps for the first time, perhaps for the 100th time, but to come and wait upon the Lord and ask him to fill your heart, to fill your mind, to fill your being, your spirit, with his presence. I'm going to give you an opportunity after I give this very focused message in the next few minutes, which I'm already losing my focus, but as I give you this focused message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and pray, and we can tarry and wait on the Lord. And we're going to do this in just a few minutes, but I want to show you three things. The message is, can I be filled with the Spirit? And the answer is, absolutely, you can. Every person can be born of the Spirit, and every believer born of the Spirit can be filled with the Spirit. And as you saw last week, I did not insist that that means you're speaking in tongues. I do insist it means you're experiencing the power of God in your life. I may get in trouble for that with some people, but so be it. So here's a question. How were the early disciples filled with the Spirit? How did they receive the Spirit? And there were three ways. First, they received it spontaneously. Okay? Here's an example of that. Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius. He was just preaching the gospel. He was telling the story of Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. And it says in the book of Acts, in chapter 10, while Peter was still speaking these words, preaching the gospel to these unbelieving Gentiles, seeking Gentiles, the Holy Spirit came upon all those who heard the message. It was a spontaneous visitation of the Spirit. And the circumcised believers, that is, the Jewish believers who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So the Jewish believers realized, hey, God's doing something here. It was spontaneous. It was just a spontaneous outpouring of the Spirit. Second, that's the first way, spontaneous. Secondly, is after actively seeking the infilling of the Spirit. Jesus told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you receive the promise from my Father, which he will pour out upon you from on high. And he said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And they had a continuous prayer meeting for 10 days. Now, I'm sure many came and went, but it was a continuous prayer meeting. They tarried for 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after the Lord's ascension into heaven, on the day of Pentecost, after waiting on the Lord, it says that the day of Pentecost came. They were all together in one place, waiting on the Lord to pour out of his Spirit. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. There was a visitation. There was a manifestation of divine power. In this case, it was manifest as speaking in tongues, as it was in the previous one. It's a supernatural utterance that was given them and a manifestation of God's power. And then there was a third way that took place, and that was through the laying on of hands. Spontaneous, waiting, and the laying on of hands. These are the three ways that we see the Spirit coming upon believers in the book of Acts. Peter and John had been sent down to Samaria. These people had believed. They'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. They were believers. But the disciples felt like there was something not happening in their lives that should be. There should be a manifestation of God's power. And so they sent Peter and John. It says when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. In other words, they were looking for some kind of an indication that God's Spirit was active in their life, which is dunamis, struia, power. And they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know how they knew that or what happened, but they saw that the power of God came upon these believers. Something took place that was significant. The Spirit came upon them. We don't know what that actually looked like or indicated. Now, also in the laying on of hands in the book of Acts, later in the book of Acts, Paul is coming to Ephesus, and he says, on hearing this, they were baptized, 12 disciples, in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, came upon them. And in this case, they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 men in all. So we see that the Spirit moves spontaneously. The Spirit moves upon those who tarry, who wait for him, who seek him. And the Spirit moves upon us through the laying on of hands. Many of you have your own testimony of how the Spirit has come upon you in your life and how he has actively moved and manifest his presence. I believe that the scriptures teach us that the infilling of the Spirit should be pursued or cultivated. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul says. Earnestly desire the best gifts. Covet. That means it's a passionate desire. For the best gifts, Paul says. It's something that we seek, something that we choose to seek, something that we ask God for, that it would be active in our lives. It's rooted in our relationship with Christ. It is not the new birth. The new birth is we are born of His Spirit. It is an empowerment for ministry and service to enhance our relationship with Jesus and to enhance our ability to minister in the name of Christ to others through the gifts that He gives us, and we are to seek them, covet them earnestly, and desire to be clothed with this power, not just the first century disciples, but every last one of us who call themselves disciples. So we should seek it, and here's why I come to this conclusion. Jesus is speaking. I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. This is a very active seeking posture. It is progressively stronger. Ask, seek, knock. It is a proactive stance. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is saying to his disciples, even before his resurrection ascension, we are to actively pursue the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It comes through faith in him, and it comes through the activity of the third person of the Trinity in our spirits. Now, Luke, this is Luke's gospel. Luke wrote Acts. He was very sensitive to the things of the Spirit. You see that in the gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts as well. So, what should I expect if God is touching me by His Spirit? A manifestation of power, manifestation of tongues, release of spiritual gifts, could be any or all of these things. As it was with the disciples in Ephesus, when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There was a manifestation of power and presence. We are a charismatic church. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit for today. They did not pass away. The book has not been closed on them. We need them for spiritual warfare, and we need them for ministry. We need all that God can give to us. And I want to exhort you as a people who call themselves disciples, most of you here, to seek a renewed infilling of God's Spirit in your life, to ask Him for His power to be released in you. If you are here and have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, today is the day, now is the time. He will not withhold His grace from you. He will not withhold forgiveness from you. He will not withhold newness of life from you. Whoever believes in Him, He gives power to become the children of God. Thank you.